When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
NBA season is in full swing. Crewed up, we got Austin Rivers, of course, Stephen A. and J.J. Redick. Hi, everybody.
What's going on, Austin? How you doing, bro?
I'm good. I'm good. Hey, man, listen, I've been walking around the hallways calling your name. You know, I came all the way out here. You guys got bigger and better things to do. I'm walking through the streets of Brooklyn.
That's your fault.
Hey, what's up, man?
J.J., I know that's your fellow Dookie right there. Austin and I go back. That's my boy right there. But, yo, how the hell you going to come to New York and don't give me advance notice? How you going to come the week of the in-season tournament?
Man, you knew y'all, I got to talk to booking.
That's on you.
I'll tell you what. He's been doing his thing out here, Stephen A.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm trying.
He certainly has.
Trying to leave a good print.
Jump right into the mix. Yeah. All right. Let's get into it, guys. Okay, so last night we had the ESPN TNT collab. That was really fun for the in-season tournament. Let's check out one of the best segments on TV, right? Shaqt and a Fool.
Oh.
Number three, Jordan Poole.
Okay, I
Shaq
can
Shaqt and a Fool needs to go back to school. La, 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 la.
Oh, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Goodness.
Number two, Draymond Green.
Draymond.
With the worst acting job than Stephen A. on General Hospital.
Worse than Brick Shaq.
Are you sure?
And number one,
Stephen A.
Off the mound.
Here we go.
Pitch was blasphemous.
Oh, no.
All I'm going to do is remind y'all this. I got a 2-hour weekday show.
Oh,
5 days a week.
Let's go, man.
I'm going to get y'all.
Let's go.
I'm going to get y'all for this.
Hello.
Oh, man. That's rough.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
I can't
hear. Okay. Oh,
I
get it. I get it. Yeah, of course. You didn't see any of that?
Right.
Okay. JJ, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Did you have any reaction to that segment, Shaqt and a Fool? You know, General Hobbs. Stephen A's trying to distract us with his earpiece, but any thoughts on that pitch and the General Hospital acting, you know, what Charles did in Shaq?
I love the creativity from TNT, and superimposing Stephen A getting his shot blocked by Thompson was beautiful. But I could literally watch that first pitch maybe 4 or 5 times a day because it brings a smile to my face. Because this guy has such a loud mouth. He talks all this mess about professional athletes, and then he has a chance to throw a strike, and he throws it halfway to home plate. Halfway, Stephen A. Do better.
It was more than halfway, Jay. Well, I'm back now. I'm back now, JJ. It was more than halfway. Listen, Derek Jeter said it best. I was playing crickets. I mean, everyone baseball was crickets. That's the excuse I'm holding on to that for right now.
Crickets, plural. You got in on this?
No, I know. That pitch was listen, man. I don't think I have to say anything. JJ said it. That was crazy.
All right.
Yo, well, it was a choke job. It was a choke job. See, I can take it, JJ. I can take it off. I choke, damn it. I choke. Period.
JJ,
okay?
The only thing that's concerning about all of it in Austin is that he wants to go do it again.
You want to go back?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it again. I'm
going to
make up for
himself.
Fellas.
I respect it, though.
I'm going to redeem myself,
you think
myself,
that's
fellas.
A good choice?
At this point, you can't go any
worse.
You know, yeah, it can't get any worse for you. You might as well just go
I got nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, progress.
Only but
I got nowhere to go but up.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's right. I would tell him to go out and try again. Let's go. Let's get some basketball.
Okay, the in-season tournament finals are set. The Lakers will face the Pacers tomorrow at 8:30 Eastern on ABC. Here's the tale of the tape for the in-season tournament championship game. Both teams have not lost a game in season tournament play. The Pacers have the edge in scoring, averaging nearly 133 points per game, while the Lakers have won their games by more points and have a slight edge in three-point percentage. So with that being said, I'll start with you, Austin. What would it mean if Haliburton outplayed LeBron?
This would be huge. I mean, you talk about just from the aspect of competition. You know, to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Yeah.
And I don't ever like to over-dramatize or be, you know, overreact to one game, but this mm-hmm. isn't just one game. This is the first year of the in-season tournament. We have the Lakers, the most historic franchise in basketball, in the championship in Vegas versus a talented young star like Tyrese Haliburton. We're getting lucky to see this guy transform. This is usually something you don't see until the playoffs, where these young guys go from a star or an all-star to a superstar.
Yeah.
We're getting to see that early on in the season. He just keeps raising the bar. I loved what I saw last night. Him going at Dame, him looking at his wrist, him saying, I do this too, when he made the deep three in the third quarter. It's impressive, man, and I can't wait to watch that game.
Yeah. JJ?
Well, I think if he outplays LeBron and the Pacers win tomorrow, it certainly vaults him into the conversation of being a superstar in the NBA. And I would argue that he's probably already there. Think about this right now. In the NBA this season, the most efficient player in isolation, drives, pick and roll, shooting off the dribble, it's Tyrese Haliburton. He's got a top five assist to turnover ratio, despite being second in the NBA in touches, engineering the best offense in NBA history. And look, I certainly recognize that to be in the conversation of being a true superstar, you need postseason success. I would also argue, though, that part of being a superstar is it's someone that you want to watch play basketball. It's someone whose jersey you want to buy for your kids. When I watch Tyrese Haliburton play, there is a joy. There is a connectivity between the game, the fans, his teammates. Like, he has raised his level to superstar status this season. And we can argue all day about how many superstars there are or what a superstar means. In my book, he's a superstar right now.
Stephen A.?
Well, listen. And one of the things that reporters are not fond of saying, but I will say it, is that J.J. Redick, Austin Rivers, y'all get to make that decision. You know, y'all get to make that decision, and we get to fall back and defer to y'all when y'all say something like that. Me personally, I'm thinking about postseason until you said what you just said, J.J., and because you said what you just said, then I'm cool with it. It's not a problem. But I think it's important that players make that distinction, and that's cool. I would tell you that based on our earlier conversation to start the show off, JJ, in case Austin, you was missing it, we was talking about praising LeBron and talking about how answering the call has a lot to do with it. That's where JJ's synopsis of Haliburton comes into play and is more crystallized. The fact that this kid plays the way that he plays, brings the attention to himself, and then goes out there and perform. Over the last two games against Boston and then against Milwaukee, you see the brother averaging over 26 a game, shooting better than 50% from the field, shoot 40% from three-point range, doesn't have a single turnover in those games, which were both victories in regular season games that matter, obviously, because of this inaugural in-season tournament. You got to give props where props is due. So he's doing everything that he can do to sit up there and say, put it on my shoulders. And what is he doing? He's just scoring points, leading the league in assists. He's not just leading the league in assists, he's minimizing turnovers. Not just that, they're number one in points scored per game and number one in field goal percentage shooting and up there in 3 points of percentage shooting and assist and all of this other stuff. It's not just what he's doing individually, it's the contagious effect that you see him having on the rest of his teammates. And then when you see his teammates, who are obviously elevating their level of play and benefiting from his greatness, deferring to him and saying, he's the reason why we're doing what we're doing. You've got a guy that's playing like a star, surrounded by dudes who not only accept it, but embrace it and validate it by elevating their level of play and crediting him along the way. This is what stardom is supposed to be. And that's what he's delivering. And if this continues into the playoffs, Indiana is going to be a very, very interesting watch, because the one thing they have proven to us is they might not be able to stop a cold. They might not be interested in stopping a cold, even though they really, really get on you, you know, defensively from the 3-point line. They just give up everything in a lane. But the bottom line is this: they can score on anybody. Yesterday, guys, I called them the Loyola Marymount of the NBA. Oh, Loyola Marymount with the late, great Hank Gathers and those guys.
Is it too early to say that Tyrese's MVP conversation? Is it
no, it isn't. I said it yesterday.
He, He could be conversation for sure.
He's in.
Austin, I got a question for you, Austin, because you played with Jokic. I was at a dinner last night, and I know they are very different players with very different skill sets. But I made the comparison that Halliburton in some ways reminds me of Jokic because of the way he plays and the way he connects his teammates. And I was thinking about it this morning, and I thought to myself, if I'm a player right now and I'm watching Denver play or I'm watching Indiana play, and I think to myself, who do I want to play with? And you play with Jokic. Who do I want to play with? What star do I want to play with? Jokic and Halliburton are probably at the top of the list right now.
One and two. They're one and two. It's interesting you said that. I was just about to bring up that point of he's the only other guy I can think of outside of Nikola.
Yeah.
That if you did a player poll throughout the NBA of who guys would want to play with, Tyrese would definitely be probably second. Maybe even one just because he's a point guard and he pushes. The way he plays, he gets hockey assist half the time. He makes plays not even get the assist. He makes it just because it's the right play, the push, the tempo. Everyone in that team eats. Everyone that plays eats. It's actually fun to watch.
I'd have him at one. Not to say he's better than Jokic, but he's faster as a guard. You see what I'm saying? And so the speed that comes along with everything else he brings to the table in terms of the selflessness is what really, really resonates with you. And I remember, you know, again, I'm not comparing him per se at this particular juncture, but when we think about Irvin Magic Johnson, what do we think about? Yeah, the greatest pass of all time and all of this other stuff in a lot of people's eyes, greatest point guard ever. But the thing about it is that he let you know that everybody was going to eat. He let you know that Showtime was about us, not just about him. He was the orchestrator, but other people were going to be fed. And they were going to be fed in the flow and in the rhythm of what he dictated. And you had to maturate to that. And you didn't have to necessarily do it slower with a Jokic, who's obviously a 7-foot center, as opposed to Halliburton, who's a guard. And last but not least, guys, I don't know if you saw me on the air over the last 2 days, but they've been playing clips. 2020, I'm going off because I'm so ticked off. JJ, Austin, I'm on the phone with the Knicks night before. Draft Halliburton. You don't need another forward. When we were hearing all of this damn noise about Obi Toppin, I said, you're not going to play him. I'm not saying the brother can't play. I know he's a talent, and I know he's a local product. But damn it, you got Julius Randle. You ain't moving him. If you ain't going to move him, what you drafting Obi Toppin for? You need the guard. So now they want to go out and go like this. Well, we got Jalen Brunson. Stop it. You could have had Halliburton and Jalen Brunson. Or you could have had Halliburton. You wouldn't have needed to pay Jalen Brunson $104 million. And you could have went and got Donovan Mitchell without trying to bluff
to
Utah with all of that stuff.
It always comes back to him.
It always comes back to the Knicks with you.
Yes!
It's all the time.
Yes!
Always.
Let it go.
Always.
Could y'all imagine Halliburton at the Garden, fellas? I mean, Halliburton at the Garden, man. Halliburton at the Garden, man, instead of Indiana. I mean, could you imagine? Oh, y'all don't understand my pain. Y'all just don't get it. You just don't get it.
Hey, man, listen, I was there for about 4 months. I get it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We
got a huge AFC showdown this Sunday with Josh Allen and the Bills head to Arrowhead to take on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. The Bills 6-6 playing for their playoff lives. Meanwhile, the Chiefs haven't looked like themselves. They've dropped three of their last five games. A lot of it has to do with the drops.
In the locker room, I think everybody knows that we're all trying to go out there and be great and try to win football games. And I have a lot of trust in those guys, and I see how hard they're working.
All right, RC, tell me this. Can the Chiefs win the Super Bowl with this receiving core?
Yes, they can win it. I don't expect them to, though.
Okay.
I mean, you know, like it's all about the way you phrase the question. When you look at Patrick Mahomes, we're used to seeing Patrick Mahomes elevate the people around him. When you go back to last year, there was no Tyreek Hill. Are we saying that Juju Smith-Schuster was worth that level of explosivity in this offense? I don't believe so. And when you think about Patrick Mahomes, where they were last week against the Green Bay Packers, the drop by MVS versus the Philadelphia Eagles, but also what we saw them do after the first two series against the Las Vegas Raiders, they can find ways to make plays. Will Matt Nagy put them in position to do so? The reason that we've always picked the Kansas City Chiefs was because of their quarterback. And I said it this morning that this feels like when Michael Jordan went to play baseball. Everybody in the AFC now has hopes, the same way everybody in the NBA then had a hope that they can win a championship. But when you think about Rashee Rice and now finding ways to get him the football where he can be running, getting that momentum, the yards after the catch, you have to do something different with Travis Kelce. And I know people are going to look at his stats and say that he still leads tight ends in many of the categories. But where's the explosive plays for Travis Kelce? Where's Travis Kelce beating one-on-ones and stretching the field? I believe that those days are gone, whether it be from the injury early on this season or if Father Time is catching up with him. How do you replace that? And I still feel like Matt Nagy hasn't figured that out. But when you watch this team and think of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes in December months, in January, this is a team that finds ways to win. And I think there could be adjustments made. They're just running out of time.
Stephen A.
Look, man, before CC chime in here, RC, man, it's rare that I disagree with you, but I disagree with you by default here. No, from a talent perspective, you could sit up there and say there's not some precipitous drop off from a Juju Smith-Schuster. But how many teams got 26 drops?
Yeah.
Drops. I'm saying, I mean, if you're telling me route running and getting open or Patrick Mahomes getting you the football is all that matters, I stand down. You're absolutely right. But you can't catch. You're literally dropping passes all the time. Yeah, hell yeah, there's a big-time drop-off from that. I didn't see that last year. I didn't see them drop. Listen, Tyreek Hill's got 12 touchdowns. Their receivers got 10. He's got about 191 yards shy of what they've done collectively. Yeah, they don't have a Tyreek Hill, but they're still a reigning defending Super Bowl champions. You know why? Because the guys that they had did the basic fundamental responsibility. That's what they fulfilled. If we throw the ball and you catch the damn ball. They caught the ball. We're literally, I mean, the kids you train, and I've watched you on Instagram, I've watched you on social media, I've watched the video of you working kids out. You got kids in high school that you are running drills through, that you are putting through the work, RC, that are catching passes better than wide receivers for the Kansas City team. You cannot make it up. Literally, Patrick Mahomes would be justified in picking up the phone and saying, yo, RC, man, can I get one of those receivers this Sunday? Can I get one of them? I know they play in high school, but damn. I mean, that's how bad it is, to the point where Valdez-Scantlin was open. It was a clear pass interference that was against him that was not called, right? And all of us went like this. You know what we were saying. CeCe, you know what we were all saying. We all went like this.
He'd have dropped it anyway.
I mean, that's how we thinking right now. No disrespect, because Valdez-Scantlin, up until this year, we weren't really saying that about him to the degree that we are now. But, my God, it is bad in Kansas City. There is no way in hell you can win a Super Bowl if your receivers can't catch.
Oh, wait a minute now, Stephen. Now, you're dead wrong on this one. Let's take inventory here. We're talking about a receiving core that's bottom five in drops. You're talking about a team that has a top 10 defense. They've got a Hall of Fame tight end, a Hall of Fame head coach, and a quarterback in the GOAT conversation. Let me see where we've seen that before and that team winning a championship. Oh, you know, the New England Patriots 5 years ago in 2018 when they beat Pat Mahomes going through Arrowhead to the Super Bowl and beating the Rams. That receiving core was bottom five in drops during the season. Now, a lot of people don't want to talk about that. We don't want to associate a Bill Belichick team or a wide receiving core with not having something so fundamental as a receiving core that can catch passes. But that's the reality. They can win it. The Chiefs have warts. So do the other 31 teams in the National Football League. It's about finding a way to overcome them. And when we start talking about the confidence level moving forward, when you look at their remaining schedule relative to all the other teams that can have the number one seed in the AFC, give me the Kansas City Chiefs. Their next five games, they don't play a team that currently has a winning record. I will take the Chiefs. It's still the Arrowhead Invitational, as my boy Nick Wright likes to call it. It's going to run through Arrowhead in terms of getting out of the AFC in order to get to the Super Bowl.
You know what?
It's going to look a little different, but the Chiefs are still going to be there in the end.
Right. You know what I see? You know what I see in CeCe? I have to admit, you remember the movie Silver Linings Playbook with Robert De Niro when Jennifer Lawrence checked him about the juju and the juju and all of this other stuff? And he said, I have to rethink this. I mean, you know, you might have a point there. That's how I feel right now. I didn't realize it. I was like, wait a minute, when New England had that, they were dropping the ball like that 2018? I forgot about that. Okay. All right. Maybe you got a point. I still don't believe you.
But the other piece of it is this, though. like some of those drops are also Travis Kelce. And if you're telling me that Travis Kelce, when Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs need them most or need him most, he's not going to step up.
I don't believe that.
Right? If you're talking about a team that understands the way to win, and if you're looking at the Miami Dolphins still have to see the Baltimore Ravens. The Miami Dolphins still have to see the Dallas Cowboys. The Baltimore Ravens still have a difficult resume or difficult schedule headed forward. And so all of these things play into the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be there. And when we say they get there, that's when you have to bet against Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and a defense that's improved. And I'm not sitting here saying that if you told me to put my money on them, I bet them against the field. What you're asking is, can they win with this group of individuals at the wide receiver position? And they absolutely can.
Well, you know what? One quick question. I think it's very, very important to ask this question. Does Taylor Swift have any concerts overseas that he might travel to? I mean, that is a factor. Yes,
Stephen A. ain't going to miss no games.
I'm not worried about him under any other circumstances.
Right.
I'm not worried about
that. One word answer. Right now, who do you have winning the AFC?
Baltimore.
Jacksonville.
Thank you.
Wow. I got to go to commercial break on that. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, when it comes to being hard-pressed to find two big men bigger than Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, both continue to play at a high level, with Jokic putting up historic numbers and Embiid performing perhaps even better than his MVP season last year. Embiid is currently leading the league in points per game and on pace to set a new career high in assists per game, while Jokic is on pace to set a career high in points per game and leads the league in rebounds per game. All right, JJ Austin, SA back here. And JJ, I want to start with you. Does Embiid have a legit case as the best player in the world right now?
Well, he definitely has a legit case, but I'm not willing to say that he is the best player in the world. I think Nikola Jokic is still the best player in the world, and he has that title likely through this playoffs. We'll see what happens in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. But I do want to say one thing. You know, the comparison between the two, especially over the last 3 years, has centered a lot around the analytics argument in favor of Jokic and the defensive argument in favor of Embiid. Well, in the last probably 6 months, that sort of gap has been slimmed on both sides of the ball, in my opinion. We saw it last year in the playoffs, Jokic make a lot of impact defensively. It's not like he ever was a traffic cone like I was when I played. And then on the other side for Embiid, you know, his playmaking has been spectacular this year. You mentioned he's averaging a career high in assists. And the analytics now also love Embiid. And if you look at a lot of the advanced stats, the singular player stats, Embiid and Jokic are 1-2 in a lot of these. So to me, Jokic still has that title because of the title run, because of the way that he finished or started out this season. But Embiid is definitely in the conversation for best player in the world and has a strong and compelling case.
You know, JJ, I get your point and I agree with you. But, you know, Embiid is 5-2 in straight up matches, in the 7 straight up matches that they've had. But that's about the only thing that he has going for him. Jokic is a champion. Embiid hasn't even been to a conference finals. We get all of that. I'm looking at Embiid, however, and I'm comparing him to himself. Based off of last year, he's averaging a career high with 6.6 assists right now. Leads the team in assists, points created, at 17.6, up from 10.8. And so I'm looking at things like that, and I'm seeing some of the comparable numbers, averaging 33.1, just like he did last season, averaging 34.7 minutes compared to 34.6 last year. And I'm looking at his game, and if you ask me in terms of the game, his footwork, his defensive prowess, just the touch, the movement, he's so special of a talent. But we also have to take that intangible into consideration. Jokic galvanizes, and it's not to say that Embiid does not. But put JJ and Austin up, because I want to be very careful. I want to make sure that I'm clear when I say this, okay? It's not Embiid's fault in any way. I love him. Love his personality. It's not his fault. But on his watch, we had the Ben Simmons situation and now the James Harden situation. That's not his fault, but we don't have that in Denver. When in Denver, it's just everything's about Jokic and everybody loves Jokic. You see Embiid now with Maxey and Tobias and everybody else. They love Embiid. I love Embiid. The coaches love Embiid. Doc Rivers loved Embiid when he was there. Management loves Embiid, et cetera, et cetera. But those problems, albeit not his fault, happened under his watch and may have served to derail the championship aspirations that he obviously has. Jokic doesn't have that problem. That's why he's a champion. And so we have to take that into consideration, even though it may be of no fault to Embiid. Right now, you've got to give Jokic the edge, but as a talent, Embiid is all-time special, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't even think there's anything to even debate here. I think Joel Embiid is one of the most electrifying players in the NBA. His skill set at his size is unprecedented. His post moves, the way he can go from outside, inside, nobody can guard him. We looked at his numbers earlier. He's having better numbers now than he did last year. And that's coming off in an MVP season, which may or may not have gone to him. Maybe there's voters fatigue there. I don't know. But Nikola Jokic is the best basketball player on the planet right now. And he has been for the past couple of years, and he is this year. The way he plays, his unselfishness, the way he's able to dominate a game. We talked about it yesterday in terms of a man having a control on the game. We talk about LeBron James. We talked about Chris Paul. We talked about a lot of these great players that we play with. Nikola Jokic is a guy I have never either played against or played with the team in terms of when I played with him. A guy who's had that much control on a game on a night-to-night basis. And people talk about his lack of athleticism, which he actually is a freak athlete. It's just not your traditional type of athlete. His touch, his feel, his will to win. And like you said, Stephen A., guys like playing with him. He doesn't have these issues in the locker room. I played there. It was consistency every single day. He has work ethic, and it starts at the top. This is a guy who, I mean, when we talk about... You talk about voters fatigue. He could easily, we've seen it with LeBron James. This guy could win 4 to 5 MVPs in a row if we really were just going off based of who's the best basketball player on the planet.
You know what I find so amazing about him? A couple of things. Number one, he can't jump onto a curb and you can't stop him. There's nothing you can do. You can't stop him. That's number one. Number two, you know what? You see guys walking around, they're physiqued up, they look conditioned or whatever. He just looked like he wobbling around.
Yeah.
And nobody can mess with him. I see guys' muscles coming out of everywhere. He's just moving them aside like they're nothing. I just look at him, I'm like, this guy's unbelievable. He's unbelievable.
Do you know what's crazy is he's such a freak athlete. It's just not traditional. People don't understand that for a man his size to be running up and down the floor with that much onus and pressure on your shoulders every night, to be in that type of shape at that size, doesn't get injured a lot, has incredible footwork, yes. His touch around the rim, he probably has one of the best floaters in basketball, and he's a center. Like, that shot he gets in the paint all the time, and that little pick and roll with Jamal Murray, where he's shooting that little 10-footer over, like, another 7-footer that's guarding him. People think it's just an easy shot. It's one of the hardest shots in basketball. You know what I mean? And this is a guy who shoots at one of the highest clips consistently. It's crazy.
I think, Stephen A., talked about this before. I think whenever we start making these arguments around players or who's better than who, you know, we get so caught up in aesthetics, and that's ultimately what you're talking about, right? We're talking about aesthetics versus actual effectiveness or versus dominance. And so, to some people, Jokic aesthetically may not be pleasing, but if you really break down the game and the way he uses his mind, his body to anticipate, I always go back. Think about how many blind lob passes he throws to Aaron Gordon in the dunker spot. And think about how many times that Aaron Gordon is covered on that blind pass, and at the last second he kicks to KCP for a wide open three in the corner. Like, that's a great basketball player. Maybe it looks a little bit different than a wing guy guard, you know, coming down on the wing, ISOing, putting the ball between his leg, hitting a tough step back jumper. It looks different, but it's as dominant as anything in this league right now.
Yep, exactly.
The thing that I want to mention is this, though, because you bring up aesthetics. That may have been what caused folks to pass on Halliburton. Like Bob Myers was bringing that up yesterday. You know, you see his leadership or whatever. You see his jump shot. It looks a bit awkward, looks a bit ugly. It goes in, damn it. Halliburton can ball. Obviously, Jokic is one of the all-time greats. Aesthetic, you pointed that out. But I will tell you this, JJ, where it's alarming with what you say, because you're absolutely right. It's one thing for me and others in my position to point to things aesthetically, right? It's another thing entirely when I can point to a myriad of executives in the National Basketball Association who are guilty of doing the same exact thing you just pointed out. They look at somebody aesthetically and they say, hey, that's the guy. And they end up missing a lot of times, just as much, if not more, than they make the right pick because of that.
Stephen A., I call those guys hotel lobby all-stars. Hotel lobby all-stars. You're just a person sitting in a hotel lobby, and an NBA bus shows up, and the team walks through in their practice gear, and you're like, oh, that the way that guy walks, or that guy's physique. Oh, he looks like the best player. I guarantee you, if you watch a bunch of teams walk through a hotel lobby, whoever the hotel lobby all-star is, not the best player, right? Yep. Austin touched on this perfectly. There is so much that goes into being a basketball athlete beyond just running and jumping.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. You're absolutely right. Incredible. And by the way, congratulations to you, the old man in the pivot and the three, the old man in the three, because I'm going to steal that line. You know what I'm saying? Was it hotel? What? Was it hotel? What do you call them? What do you call them, JJ?
Hotel Lobby All-Stars.
Hotel Lobby All-Stars. I'm using that. I'm coining that. I'm going to tell everybody, JJ Redick, Hotel Lobby All-Stars.
You got it.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Now let's get to the game of the week. Eagles heading to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Huge playoff implications on the line. Philly took the first matchup, but a very close one. They're currently a game ahead of Dallas in the NFC East. The Eagles coming off a lopsided loss to the 49ers. Meanwhile, the Cowboys, winners of four straight. Dak Prescott playing some of his best football this season, leading the league in touchdowns to interceptions and ranking in the top five in total QBR completion percentage and yards per attempt. Southern Steve, is this the biggest regular season game of Dak Prescott's career?
You know, the honest answer to the question is I'll say yes, but the real answer is I don't know, because I haven't thought about the last time there's been some big regular season game with the Cowboys. I mean, perpetually, I know they're going to come in second place. It's not like they're going to win. I know that eventually they're going to lose. And so I haven't really thought about it until this morning. But when asking the question, considering that there's a division crown on the line, essentially, because if you lose this game, you're not going to win the division, the importance of the win, how prolific Dallas has been with home court advantage, the expectation in terms of how soft the Philadelphia Eagles, particularly their secondary, has been, combined with Dallas being 3-1 in the last four starts against the Eagles. I'm talking about Dak Prescott specifically, averaging, 38.8 points per game, 74 completion percentage, 14 touchdowns, just two turnovers. Considering how he's performed, what's on the line, because what could cost them if they lose, along with home field advantage, how they've looked when they're at home compared to how they've been on the road, how vulnerable the reigning NFC champions are looking at this particular moment in time. I think all of those things, combined with them desperately needing home court advantage to elevate their chances to beat a Philadelphia or a San Francisco potentially in an NFC playoff game, I think all of those components cumulatively coming together, I think that elevates the level of importance for Dak Prescott for this to be his most important and biggest regular season game of his career thus far.
Yeah, Stephen A., I don't even think it's a question. This is by far the biggest game in the regular season for Dak Prescott and his career because of what you just said. Having the opportunity to play against those opponents, whether it be San Francisco or Philadelphia or maybe both in the postseason, in Jerry's world, makes a world of difference. This team has the second longest home winning streak in franchise history. 14 straight games they've won at AT&T Stadium. So, yeah, it makes a huge difference. But if they don't win this game, then all of a sudden there is no path for Dak to win an MVP and there is no path for the Dallas Cowboys to win their division. And so, yeah, I think it's absolutely important that Jerry gets to see this from his quarterback, that in this spot with these types of stakes that Dak Prescott can come through. There is no path to the Dallas Cowboys actually beating the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday Night Football unless Dak plays at an MVP level. So, yes, this is the biggest game in Dak's career in the regular season.
Stephen A., I'm disgusted with you. I can't believe you, of all people, all you ever talk about, what they going to do in the playoffs, anything that can happen will happen. And you talking about who cares about if this is the biggest regular season game or not? Shouldn't we not? That shouldn't even be a part of the conversation. The conversation should be that the Dallas Cowboys have an opportunity to, just like Chris Canty saying, to put themselves in position to host playoff games in Jerry's world. That's what's important. It don't matter if the San Francisco regular season game was important. It don't matter what regular season game was important, because this is all leading up to, can the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl? And so when we watch this game, we need to watch this game to see Dak Prescott, who honestly, when you listen to the way he's behaved and all of his pressers, has been flippant to the media. He feels like right now he's the one. The same way when Morpheus was sitting in that room and they was all dirty and dingy, and Neo, because he was in the Matrix, had his suit on fighting the agents, and he said, he's starting to believe. Right? That's where Dak Prescott is right now. He's starting to believe. And you remember when Neo believed what happened? He kicked Agent Smith in the face 16 times without putting his leg down. That's what we got to go see Dak Prescott do. Because if Dak Prescott doesn't do that, this week, we'll be sitting here Monday. Chris will be on his radio show. You'll be here on First Take, and we'll be saying it again. The same old Dallas Cowboys. The same old Dak Prescott. But it doesn't have to do with the fact that it's a regular season game. It has to do with the fact that you're supposed to be the better team right now. If you look at the Dallas Cowboys coming into this game, you look at the San Francisco 49ers coming into this game, everything in the world is set up for the Dallas Cowboys to win. These are the type of Mondays, the Cowboys lose, that you put on your hat, you walk in with your cigar, and you somehow mix your New York dialect with some dude from Texas that actually doesn't live in Dallas. This is that sort of game. Well, it's not because it's a big regular season game. It's because the Dallas Cowboys are now supposed to be that team. Go show us.
Well, first of all, I don't think you get to say that. And the reason why I don't think you get to say that, because we watch you give sermons on the pivot, you know, talking about how tomorrow isn't guaranteed and getting all spiritual.
Oh, that's what?
That you talk to. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. Get spiritual. You understand what I'm saying? That's why you be wearing them collared shirts, which are pretty fly, by the way. I've ordered a few, because that's what you've been doing, okay? So that's number one. Number two, let's not forget, it's not just First Take. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show on YouTube. Let's not forget that, because you're going to see me talking about him on that too. Number three, what you're really getting on me about is the fact that I dropped the ball as the executive producer. I've got outstanding producers that do a great, great job on this show. I wouldn't be me without them. They know them. I love them. Even though Molly shows them more love than me visually, I show it behind the scenes. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. In the end, it's like, yo, you got to take one week at a time. You understand? You crawl before you walk. And I'm trying to be nice and a bit diplomatic, because I know what I'm going to say the minute the clock strikes January. The minute the month of December is over and January comes, I know where they're going. I know where they're going. So why be a bit premature with that? Let's live in the moment and let's give it to them right now. That's all I'm trying to do. That's all I'm trying to do.
That ain't the version of Stephen A. Smith I want to see. Diplomacy don't look as good on you as them suits you wore today and last night. Seen the electric blue suit too, my brother. Outstanding work. Not like what you're doing right now. Because I'm going to tell you like
Lamar.
The Dallas Cowboys, like RC said, have it all set up for them to win this game. Yep. For the second week in a row, the Philadelphia Eagles will be at a rest disadvantage than their opponent. Mm-hmm. And then the Dallas Cowboys get the Eagles after they play the San Francisco 49ers. And the record of opponents the week after playing San Francisco the last 2 years is 7-20.
Yep.
So it's all teed up for you to take care of business at home, Dallas Cowboys.
You know
what are you going to do in
so
this?
So you're
you know
taking
what?
Dallas, Canty?
You know what? No, you know what? You know what?
Hold on, one sec, Stephen A. Are you taking Philly, too?
I'm taking Dallas.
You're both taking Dallas?
No, I'm taking Philly.
I'm taking Philly.
Oh, Philly,
you know what?
Philly.
You know what, damn it? You two right there, you two are getting on my nerves with your damn brilliance. Y'all better calm this down. You understand what I'm saying? You better calm this down. You ain't got to show the brilliance all the time, damn it, okay? Just calm
Stephen
it
A.,
down.
Who are you
what
taking?
I'm going to do is I'm going to set it up. I'm picking the Cowboys to win this game. I'm picking the Cowboys to win this game. Now, I ain't say they're gonna do a damn thing come January, but right now, I'm gonna do it. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna have a home game. Who knows? They're gonna have a home playoff game, right? And I'm gonna do First Take. We gonna do First Take from Jerry World in the parking lot.
Can I ask
during
a question,
the tailgate. That's what we gonna do. I'm sure. And I'm gonna ride it on a horse. I'm a riding on a horse.
This is a lot, right?
With cowboy.
Okay, here's the thing, though.
From the parking lot?
To both you and Canty, though, with this being a big regular season game, as you guys are saying, if Dallas wins, do they become the favorite in the NFC?
No.
No. Nah. Over San Francisco.
Not over San Francisco.
No.
Hell no.
That's a nah.
Absolutely
for me,
not. Right. No way.
Right. I'm told we have
Please.
To go.
He crazy, CC. He crazy, man. Ain't happening.
Okay, so you're both taking the Eagles. Stephen A's taking the Cowboys. Canty, what about Bills Chiefs?
I'm going to roll with the Kansas City Chiefs. I understand that they're at a rest disparity when it comes to the matchup with the Bills. Bills coming off of their bye week. But give me Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes after a loss. Like, yeah. Pat Mahomes' record all time is money after losses.
Yeah.
I mean, so I trust that they're going to be able to find a way to get it done at home.
Yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs, too, but reluctantly, right? You look at the Buffalo Bills, the way they played offense, the Kansas City Chiefs not necessarily executing as high of a level as we're used to seeing, but I think they find a way to win this game. And also replacing Brian Cook is something I'll be paying attention to.
S.A.?
Listen, the Chiefs should win this game. I would be more confident in the Bills if the Chiefs hadn't lost last week. But since they did, I'm going to pick the Chiefs. But I got to tell you, the Bills need to win this game. They really, really do. They should be desperate. They should
All right.
be desperate.
Stephen A., have fun out there.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.